And we're just going to read a couple of verses. We'll pray real quick and see what the Lord's got for us today. Amen. So, Psalm 30, the Bible says, begin reading in verse number 4. And I should pause, I guess, to give you a little bit of a chance to turn on over there. Not thinking that, you know, some of you may not have been quite ready. Some may have even tuned in a little late. But we'll be here in Psalm, the 30th Psalm. I almost said chapter 30, but it's Psalm 30. There are no chapters in the book of Psalms. Psalm 30 in verse number 4 and 5. And the Bible says, David writing here under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. Hallelujah to that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and pray and we'll get in the sermon. Amen. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We thank You, Father, for being so good to us, for loving us, for saving us. I want to thank You, Lord, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be able to stand here this morning and present this brief sermon here, this sunrise service, celebrating just what it is that You've done for us there. And we're so thankful, Father, so thankful that You sent Jesus, Your Son, to die upon that cross in our place. Pay a debt we could never repay. Die a death that even though we would spend eternity in hell doing it, we still would never, ever be able to make up for what we've done. But yet Jesus endured those 6 hours there on the cross, the scourging beforehand, the mocking, all the doubts of everybody afterward that He hadn't made it, that salvation had failed. But yet on that glorious, glorious, yes, resurrection morning, up from the grave, Jesus arose, showing that You had accepted His sacrifice. That's good, Father. Thank You. Thank You. I ask, Father, humbly now that You please just help me to present the sermon the way that You'd have me to, that it would be a help to each and every one who's listening here today. We love You, and we'll talk to you a little later, Father. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. Back there at the end of verse number 4, you'll see that it says that they're to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. That word holiness, as I looked it up, it talks about a sacred place. And when you think about some place, obviously you're in a specific location when you're at a place, but this is a sacred place. And generally speaking, you'll see different movies and read stories and whatnot. And when they talk about some place that's sacred, some place that's holy, this is a place that you can go to and you can be safe while you're there. When we're talking here very specifically about that we are to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, at the remembrance of His sacred place. This ain't my holiness. My holiness is full of holes. Amen. No, we're talking about His holiness, His sacred place, a place where we could find shelter. And shelter is a wonderful place. You'd like to be in a little bit of shelter in the heat of the day. You'd love to be in shelter during a storm. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at here this morning. We're titling our sermon, Shelter in Time of Storm. Because as we all know, we've got so much seemingly spinning out of control around us. So much that is falling apart right now. Things just are going wrong left and right, left and right. We can't catch a break. But God has a place for us, where we can come, where we can shelter, where we can be safe. We just have to follow Him. We just have to trust and obey Him. We just have to come to Him. Because God's holiness for us Christians, for those of us who have been saved, blood bought, born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's holiness is our shelter. It is where we are supposed to be. I want to show you just a few things here from verse number 5 in regards to this shelter that is going on here. Number one, we need to note that there's a front of the storm. Now, we'll hear people talk about, especially the weathermen, talking about the storm front that's moving in. That's the storm front. That's the leading edge of what is coming here. And everything going to be following that storm front is going to be a whole lot worse. And we see here the front of the storm. It says in verse number 5, for his anger. For his anger there, church. And let's be honest with ourselves here for a moment. He is a thrice holy God. He's got every right to be angry. He's got every right to be upset with our sins. He's got every right to sit here and mete out punishment, judgment for what we are due. The Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. This anger is deserved. And when you look up that word anger here, you find it in the original Hebrew. It's talking about the flaring of the nostrils here. You ever seen someone who's so mad? You know, they're doing one of these things there, and you can just tell they're struggling if they want to actually slap the snot out of you, or if they're just holding themselves back from doing it. That's how angry they are. And that's what's talking about here is this anger that is so richly deserved. And God's letting us know, hey, there's a front to this storm that is coming. And we certainly, if we would be honest with ourselves here this morning, we look around here, and I know I've been preaching about this the last 3 or 4 weeks. That's fine. We'll do it. We'll hit it yet again. You read through the prophets. They were constantly telling the people about their sins over and over again and God's judgment and whatnot. So I ain't afraid to do it here again this morning. Amen. Everything's been shut down here. Okay? Our athletics have been shut down. We can't worship our sports. Our movies have been shut down. We can't worship our stars. Our concerts have been shut down. We can't worship our singers and all this stuff there. And because we ain't been bothering to go to church like we need to, God's even shut the church doors down on us. And everything is just falling apart as far as we are concerned. But God's judgment flows. And not just against Christians, but against the lost as well. Trying to get their attention, trying to let them know, hey, something going on here. You need to get right with me. But this is all part of that front of the storm. And what it does is it leads us that we need to flee the effects. Verse 5 again, for his anger endureth but a moment. Endureth for a moment. We flee the effects. In other words, get inside of the shelter when a storm comes. Now, inside the shelter, we can hear the rain as it's beating down on the roof and maybe on the side of the house if it's blowing real hard. We can hear the wind howling. Hear that thunder clapping. But we're inside. We're not feeling the rain hitting us because it's not. We're not being pushed around because of the wind. In fact, while lightning is scary as can be, we're not having to worry about getting struck by it because we're inside. And if we're getting struck by it, all we're hearing is its noise called thunder. We have fled the effects from it. Now, as such, we shelter in storm, we can feel that things pass by at least a little bit more quickly. Why? Because we're not out in it. You're caught out in a storm. Good night. It seems to take forever to get through that storm. But when you're inside, yeah, it seems to last a long time, but at the same time, it doesn't last too terribly long because you're not out having to deal with it. We have fled the effects that have been transpiring. Now, when we've sinned, what do? We cry out for forgiveness. We cry out to God, and we ask Him. The last thing we should ever do is wait and say, "Well, you know, God ain't. I just did it, so God's not going to forgive me." show me in the Bible where God says you just committed that sin. You have to wait X number of hours before I'll forgive you. He wants true repentance so he can truly forgive you. You commit that sin, you ask for forgiveness, you mean it. Guess what? He takes care of it right then and there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nowhere in there does it say there's a timetable set. Okay? Flee the effects from the front of the storm. Why? Because fear can be generated. Fear can be generated. Goes on to say, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping. Very next word there, weeping. And I got to think about now, how would that exactly work in this particular case? Well, storms can in our lives can cause us to become very emotional. And when we're very emotional, we can be emotionally happy or we can be emotionally sad. Now, let's put the emotionally happy part to the side for now. Let's just look at the emotionally sad, where we are in a bad place. We start weeping. We end up generating fear in our lives. Because we start sitting there focusing on all the negative side. We start looking at all the things that have just gone wrong. They're giving us a headache. They're bringing us down. They're crushing us. And fear is the opposite of faith. When that storm is raging, fear is being generated. And it is trying to push us to go the exact opposite, to run away from God. When God says, I want you to run to me, I want you to come here to me. Fear always tells us it's the worst case scenario. The other shoe's about to drop and it's going to crush you. You're not going to make it this time. That's what the enemy's trying to convince you of. The enemy's trying to convince us this time we've gone too far. It's a bridge too far. God won't take you back. God won't forgive you. You've blown it this time. It's too late this time. But when we flee the effects of the storm, we get into the shelter of God's holiness. We start operating by faith, and faith gets generated instead. And we see the previous words before the word weeping. It says, in his favor is life. That comes about because faith is being generated to serve the Lord. But let's be honest here. It gets frustrating dealing with these storms while we are waiting for the morning to come. Frustrating because it just seems to take so long. The Bible goes on to say, weeping may endure for a night. It may endure for a night. It may last for the night. Now, let's be honest here. Okay, let's be honest. I know I said that there are no timetables when we come and confess our sins to God. Amen, hallelujah, period, done. But let's be honest, we're humans. We would all like, when we sin, we come and confess to God our sins, boom, it's it, done, over, no more. Sin's been cast in the sea of forgetfulness, and that's all there is to it. We're all good in the hood. That typically is not the case. Why? Because we don't learn. Okay, look, you know, again, let's be honest here. We need to come correct. In other words, the Board of Corrections must meet the seat of education. Some of y'all got that one. In other words, we must be punished. Okay? Yeah, sometimes God will show mercy and he'll just forgive us in the subject. But there are also other times when it's not over and done with, even though we've confessed, he's forgiven us, but we still need to be corrected because as Hebrews tells us there in chapter 13, that he is a good father and he corrects those whom he loves, those who are his. We got to have some correction. I love my daughter, but you know what? There are times I've got to spank her. Or times I've got to ground her. She did something the other day, made me mad. She had no business doing what she did. TV got turned off on her. Okay? It was a matter of she just got so caught up in watching television, she didn't do what she should have done. Okay, fine. She got a little bit of punishment that way. Sometimes the punishment's easier than other times. Sometimes it's a lot harder than other times. But the fact is, it's frustrating to us because God, I called out for forgiveness. Can't this just be over and done with now? We did it to ourselves. But despite everything that's going on, despite all the madness that's going on outside right now, all this COVID-19, all the and everything being shut down, and the longer it's shut down, the longer it's going to take to get back to a quote-unquote normal. By the way, normal was not working. If it was, we wouldn't be going through this. Did someone say amen right there? But the fact is, we're going to get frustrated in this life. Why? Because we exist in time. God exists outside of time. God is working all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called. The called. I almost preached a sermon on that one this morning about the word "the" in that verse there in Romans chapter 8. The called. God's working everything out for us if we will follow His will. Because if we'll follow His will, if we will endure, if we'll put up with our frustration because things aren't going as quickly as we want them to, we're having to get whipped because of something we've done, we're having to endure troubles and trials because someone else has committed the sin, and we now have to go through it, remembering that's part of God's plan. If we will do all these things there, we will run into what is the fruit that is born out of it. Amen. What's that last phrase of verse number 5? But joy cometh in the morning. Like when God butts in. Joy cometh in the morning. That word joy, by the way, let me just tell you this. That word joy means a shout. That word joy means to proclaim, a proclamation. It also means rejoicing. Being more than happy. Because happy, it has that root word of happen. In other words, it's by chance. We're supposed to, as Christians, be joyful. It's better than being happy. It's better than being glad. It is wondrous. And God says here that joy is coming in the morning. We can rejoice. We can proclaim what the Lord has done for us. We can shout the praises of the great I Am. Hey, amen. Just that itself. He's the great I Am. Not the great I Was. The great I Might Be. The great Maybe. He's the great I Am. Joy comes in the morning. So why should we be glad then when joy comes in the morning? We want our joy now, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. But remember what happens in the morning. I realize we've got our watches now. You can see mine there on my wrist. We can get a look at our smartphones there and see what time it is. We can look on the clock, see what time it is. Look at the VCR. Don't bother with the one in your car because it's probably off by an hour one way or the other. Those things are a pain to adjust. But back before we had all this technology, back when the sundial was the most advanced piece of timekeeping technology we had, the hourglass, they knew it was morning when the light came. So why is that special? Because if the light has come, that means storm is over. We sheltered in place God's way, and now it's passed by. We can be happy knowing once again, God has brought us through. We've reached the morning. Church, we can reach the morning one of two ways. Number one, we can reach it by exhausting ourselves staying up all night worrying about the storm, being fearful about the storm, flooding our minds with all the effects of the storm that are raging on around us. We can exhaust ourselves by being out in the storm because we're too stubborn to come into His shelter. And putting up with all of that, that we don't need to be putting up with it, but we've chosen to do it. Or. We can come and confess our sins to Him. We can put our faith and trust in God Almighty. We can accept the fact that He knows what He is doing, that He is large and in charge, that nothing ever escapes Him, nothing has ever caught Him by surprise, and that He will see us through. Remember that promise that He gave there to the disciples when they got in the boat there over in Mark, I'm wanting to say it's chapter 4, maybe chapter 5, mind slipping at the moment. He said, let us go over to the other side. He knew there was a storm waiting for Him. He knew they were going to be in trouble. He knew that boat was going to be filled to overflowing with water and still not sinking, by the way. But He said, let us go over to the other side. So your boat of life might be flooded. You might be thinking you're about ready to drown. It might look like God is asleep. But He's not. He's just waiting for us to come to our shelter in Him. Which one are you going to do this morning? Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And believe this is what You'd have us to bring to Your people today. And we're asking You, Father, please, to bless it. And help us to follow after Your holy will. Pray that everyone here got exactly what it is that they needed out of the sermon this morning. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.